Lecture 11, Fascism.
Welcome to our lecture on fascism, in which we'll examine another ideology growing up out of the dislocations and traumas of the First World War. In our previous lecture, we had considered the growth of Soviet civilization and the communist ideology, in part also a radical outgrowth of the First World War as total war. In today's lecture, we'll examine an ideology that presented itself quite consciously as an alternative, as a future in opposition to that offered by communist ideology, fascism. It rejected parliamentary democracy and liberalism, as well as socialism and communism, and claimed to be the wave of the future. In discussing fascism, we need first of all to engage in the often difficult business of even defining the phenomenon itself. We should start by mentioning that fascism originated in a particular time and place. It was a reaction to the destabilizing influence of World War I and the damage that total war wrought on the certainties and the order, the ideas of the 19th century. Today, however, the term fascism is used very broadly to designate authoritarian regimes as such, often simply as a generalized term of abuse. What we need to do is to be a little more specific, to see how this term and its meaning grew out of one time and place, post-war Italy. Fascist ideas would certainly acquire wide influence. They would be spread and imitated in many other countries, but they would rarely become as dominant as they did in Italy. The German Nazis would draw inspiration from Italian fascism. Historians continue to debate today about the relationship of Nazism and fascism. Clearly they're linked, but historians still debate whether Nazi Germany should be understood as a sub-variety of a larger species known as fascism, or whether Nazism, for all of its linkages with the original fascism, represents something so very different and distinctively German that it should be considered a phenomenon entirely unto itself. It's a topic we'll return to. Italian fascism originally lacked some elements that played a very important role in Nazism, such as the explicit racism and antisemitism of the Nazis, but it would later adopt these under Hitler's influence. So these were ideologies that were able to adapt and change. Though fascist ideology in Italy was often inchoate, since it despised rational thought as enervating and not genuine and not vital, it often had an antipathy to being systematic, it did have some general ideas that it stood for. Fascism opposed socialism and communism, hated parliamentary government and democracy and liberal ideas as weak and things of the past, and instead championed certain ideas that it felt the First World War had brought to the fore. It championed order, the power of a great centralized state over individuals, not serving them, not individuals there to be served by the state, but individuals to serve the state, and also celebrated an ethos of brutal heroism to be realized through dynamic revolution and violence. Fascism would be identified with the man who brought it to the fore in Italy, Benito Mussolini. We'd like to consider the origins of this self-made dictator. His origins, similarly to those of Stalin's, were not necessarily auspicious. Mussolini was born in 1883 in a poor village in the Romana region of Italy to a poor family. His father was a blacksmith, a committed socialist through and through, who hoped for a great career for his son. He named him after a famous Mexican revolutionary, a personal hero of his, Benito Juarez. But this socialist father could little expect the directions in which his son would later go. Like Stalin, Mussolini's school years were disordered. He was expelled from school, not once, but twice, for stabbing a classmate.